Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is.
Here we go. Come on, America. Who y'all hate the most, the Lakers or the Warriors?
Hey, that's cold. I said, the Lakers.
Hey, what's that shirt that you're wearing, Gary, by the way?
That's a Timbers shirt.
Oh, the soccer team. Nice.
There you go. Very well represented.
You know, the interesting, the Lakers used to be the team I hated the most in the NBA, but I think the Warriors have surpassed them for me.
Really? No, I hate them both. I mean, there's a lot of hate to go around from me with those two teams. But, you know, at some point the Golden State will go back to being Golden State of old. But the Lakers have that generational hate because they always, you know, get the best players and, you know, are able to bring in those key people. But when we get into that, I can't wait to get into that because they brought in some key people, and I can't wait to talk about this series.
Oh, I cannot wait. Again, Rob, you know, we appreciate the hate, man, because, you know, you hate because, you know, you hate us because you hate us, man. That's how it is, man. So, you know, we get it, you know, obviously. So.
Well, I thought you were Hawks, right?
Wait a minute.
The house is a Warriors house, man. So, you know, I'm all – I gotta have one damn team, man. So you know that's what I'm doing, man. So I can like multiple teams for sure, man. So, and you know, the wife is from California, and you know it's all good. So that's what I can do.
All right.
And I've been to both of the games, all that fun stuff, man. It's been good.
I had to
wear a Warriors jersey, and then I had to have a Hawks jersey or a Hawks hat, man. I was able to pull it off, man. So it's beautiful, man. So. You know, but it's all good.
You got to root for the Warriors, otherwise you can be sleeping on the sofa.
That's right.
But
happy wife.
You cannot question my loyalty by any means. As much as my picks and teams have not been too great, but you know it's all good. You know, I've been pretty loyal to the Georgia Tech, to you know obviously Falcons, Hawks, whatever. You know, there's some teams. You know, I've been pretty loyal no matter what. It's happened through the years, but it's all good. Mm-hmm. Hey, America, we are officially May the 2nd. We are literally kicking off an amazing month here. We got a lot of things to talk about. I do want to give a shout-out to my guy, Tony. He's a huge fan, and he was cracking me up because he made a comment about – I think I made a comment about your asparagus love, Rob, about Scrooge McDuck jumping into he was cracking up. That was freaking hilarious, man. So that's a true guy that I actually appreciate the show, and Tony, thank you, man, for your comments, too. So, good stuff. We do got a lot of things to talk about. Just kind of a recapping of what happened over the past weekend. The NFL draft, we have some NBA playoffs up to kick in. Baseball, I mean, this is an exciting time, too. So, we're going to wait. Hopefully, JQ will jump on in about 10 minutes here. But we always like to go around the room, around the horn, as they say, just check in with everybody. And, Gary, I'll start with you, my guy. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, I'm doing well. This is Arnetta's birthday tonight. But we celebrated
Happy
early.
Happy birthday. Okay.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Arnetta.
And I feel fortunate. You know, Arnetta's 56 today. And I know you're not supposed to say it, but she's proud of her age. And, you know, we put ourselves in a position that when I retired, she was able to retire extra early. Awesome. And we're enjoying life. And today I met a gentleman. We were at this Italian restaurant in town, and we met this gentleman. His name is James, and he was asking us about the desserts that we got, and he was sitting by himself, and we got to talking, and he lost his dad about the same time I lost my dad. But 7 months later, he lost his mom, who had had battled cancer for years, and lost his mom, too. And so I'm giving a shout-out to James tonight, you know, for, you know, just sitting there and visiting. And I went over to his table as we were leaving, and I said, hey, you know, we talk about more than sports, because I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to talk about you tonight on this podcast. And I said, it's a sports podcast, but we're more than just sports. You know, we're about people mm-hmm. and about, you know, showing respect to each other and, you know, and out in the community. So I'm giving the shout out to James. If he calls in tonight or if he listens tomorrow, I want him to know that my thoughts and prayers are with him, and I enjoyed our conversation. And he really enjoyed this lemon cake that we recommended. So it was a good time.
Shout out to you, James. Was it limoncello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Delicious. That's like become my favorite dessert now at Italian restaurants. I love limoncello cake. Man, that stuff is good.
Yeah.
And it's kind of light, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It goes good with asparagus, too.
I'll bet it is.
I'm being facetious, America. Don't try that.
We don't really know. We're waiting for the asparagus sponsorship to come to America. We are seriously waiting for that. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, man. Hey, everything's going good, man. Ready to get the show and party started. You know, had that asparagus for a snack today. Actually, didn't have it with my lunch. I had it for a snack. And then, of course, had it with my crab cakes for dinner tonight. So we're in good shape, man. Double dose today.
Well, you don't fall asleep, man. So it's a good stuff.
I need to lose about 4 pounds. So hopefully the asparagus
will help. Here we go. That's the secret, asparagus diet. Hey, appreciate that. Shout out to James. You know, obviously, you know, Gary, appreciate you. You know, a lot of times I know I don't share a lot of personal life stuff too, but, you know, and I know sometimes I feel like I'm the youngest and the whipping boy, but I do have something to say. I've accomplished a lot. You know, we have paid off all of our debt besides the mortgage, but, you know, so at this juncture, so, you know, it's great for me to kind of just work and just
yeah.
You know, Marcy's salary goes into a couple of things. So we have like this really great structure going on too, and the DJ business is going pretty well. You know, so again, it allows me to kind of have freedom to you know, travel and do things that we always wanted to do too. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I know you guys don't know a lot about me from that perspective, but, you know, it's something I'm very extremely proud of, and I'm very determined to keep going from that vantage point too. So, you know, one day I'll get Marcy retired, but, you know, for now we've got a little time here, but we're going to enjoy it and we're going to do the best with our finances. So it's a good thing. So there you go.
And live life along the way. Be
correct.
Fiscally responsible, yep. But enjoy life along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were lucky to take a trip to Portugal and have some fun, and, you know, that's kind of where all that kind of stemmed from, too.
Oh, yeah.
Celebration of what we're able to do, too. So, you know, obviously,
hey,
DJ business is going well and everything. So, yeah.
And we got to go to who's Georgia Tech playing in Dublin next year?
Oh, yeah. I think they're – I got to look that up, man. I, you know, I didn't know if that was even possible, man, but I think it's not, because I didn't even think that was even a possibility. But if you're serious, man, let's actually make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, so,
Don't
do it.
Gary, if you're on the
I'm in.
We can do make it. We can make it a
triple
date.
Are you in?
I'm in.
Georgia Tech is playing somebody in Dublin next football season in August.
Yeah.
The 2024 season. Hold on. Yeah. That's a lot. I'm looking it up. Is it Boston College? Oop, hold on.
Is it?
I'll look it up, too. It's Florida State, actually. Florida State and Georgia Tech will open the
24. There you go. That's
24.
What it is.
Yep. Okay. Good stuff. Anyway,
whoa.
I digress. But oh, this guy. See, Rob, we're already doing this. Really quickly, America. We appreciate that. Just a
yeah,
quick
we need to make
shout
that
out
happen.
To the numbers for
fun.
The show. Yeah, the sooner we know, let's go ahead and make that, because I need to like clear my calendar for sure. Because literally, if I got something booked, I need to go ahead and just plan it out and just make sure that I'll check the dates for that too. But anyway, really quick, let's throw the numbers out for those that want to call in. Hopefully Naj will give us a shout. The 424-243-9519 is always the number to call. Follow us on the Twitter, which is at number 12, PHMAN Sports. James, you can follow us on that as well. And, again, we are on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports12men or 12men sports. You will find us as well. And, Rob, it's funny because just as we got finished with this draft, they're always like about the next draft, right, the 2024 draft. So, again, it's like you don't even get, like, a rest. And we're like, the draft grades are out. Hey, who's good for next year? So I appreciate you for already putting the 2024 mock draft out there. And, obviously, I was going to call for – Right. I was going to stall for JQ because, you know, the top two players, obviously, are Caleb Williams from the quarterback from USC and Marvin Harrison Jr., number two, from Ohio State. So that's kind of what we're looking at as far as the top two players. And then Rob did a good fantastic job. So I don't want to steal any more of your thunder. I'll give it to you and talk about your mock draft for 2024.
Yep. And it's actually just the top 32 prospects as of now for the 2024 draft. It's posted on our Talking Sports page on Facebook. I'll go over the top 10, and then I'll go over a few names. I won't go over the whole 32. Our listeners, if you go to the Talking Sports or the 12th Man Facebook page, you can see the entire top 32 list if you're interested in seeing the whole list. But Andre already mentioned number one, Caleb Williams. By far, as of right now, the top prospect going into the 2024 draft. He's got the passing game. He's got the running game. He's the prospect that everyone's going to be looking for in next year's draft as of now. But there's always one quarterback that comes out of nowhere, too, so you got to keep that in mind. Like this year was Anthony Richardson, you know, that kind of climbed into the top four. You know, Joe Burrow, his senior year, he was going into the season, was considered a fifth-round draft pick, moved all the way up to number one, and then we see what the impact he has in a pro game already. So we'll have to be looking for that. Marvin Harrison Jr., number two, an elite prospect at the wide receiver position. Number three, Olu Fashanu, offensive lineman from Penn State at the number three spot. Number four, the next quarterback prospect, Drake May from North Carolina, a true drop-back pro-style quarterback, has good mobility, had an incredible freshman year last year from North Carolina. So he's the number four prospect. Number five, Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Andre and myself got a chance to see him in person. He pretty much handled that elite Clemson defensive line. Notre Dame was running the ball down Clemson's throat in that game. So remember the name Joe Alt. He'll be draft eligible next year, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Number six, we saw this guy a lot too, Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, an elite tight end prospect. He probably would have been the top tight end in this year's draft if he was eligible for this year's draft. Michael Hall Jr., defensive tackle, Ohio State, number seven. Dallas Turner, defensive end, Alabama, number eight. Jared Verse, defensive end, Florida State, who actually would have been a first-round pick if he was draft eligible this year, decided to come back to school one more year. Florida State is the favorite to win the ACC next year. This year is the year they're favored to take over the ACC from Clemson, and Jared Verse is going to be one of those reasons. Number 10, Ohio State again. Mecca Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. I got him at the number 10 spot. So those are your top 10 prospects as of today on the 2024 NFL draft. I'll skip around here. Number 11, probably going to be the best name in the draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid.
cornerback. at the number one spot. So definitely the number the best name in the draft. And check this out at number 15. We would never thought this 2 years ago. Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon. Number 15, number 16, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. Quinn Ewers, quarterback, Texas, at number 19. Skipping around here a little bit, Mason Smith, defensive tackle, LSU, at number 24. And I'll kind of stop there. Well, Braylon Trice, linebacker from Washington, number 28. Denzel Burke, cornerback, Ohio State, at 27. And number 32, Connor Colby, interior offensive lineman for Iowa. Iowa, of course, had a lot of good prospects in this year's draft. Washington, their team has got a lot of talent. Got them 3 first-round picks and put it top 32 right now, too.
Good stuff, man. We were talking about the talent and whatnot as far as what's coming out. And I guess it looks like, you know, Rob, I appreciate you skipping around, too, because literally we had an interesting draft, and we're already looking at next year. But like I said, top 2, far and away, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harris Jr., Ohio State's represented. So, you know, again, we'll see what happens. Like you said, there'll be a quarterback that will kind of rise to the top. This year we kind of knew it was going to be Bryce and it was going to be C.J. Stroud. You know, Anthony Richardson, you know, you kind of didn't know what was going to happen to them. Then, you know, we kind of recap that too as well. But, JQ, anything you want to add to that too? Are you able to hear us on the call or what, my guy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're just making sure you're good.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Nothing to add to that?
Well, you know, I'm not going to go with the Bo Nix talk because Bo Nix sucks. But, I mean, I look up for all the Ohio State stuff to happen for sure. But Marvin Harris Jr., of course, I think he's going to go top 3 or 4. I think it's Caleb Williams, you know, without a question. He has to come out and be horrible for USC. Have that phone number 1. He's already got a high thing. He got all the fanatics. Probably take a leap, and I think he played really well. It just depends on the defense. That's the only thing that kept him out, that they never showcased the ability, I think, in the playoffs. But, you know, we always think these things, and stuff always comes out. I like Nate, but I just don't trust Mac Brown, North Carolina, because he put him in the best position. So we'll see.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything to add to that, Gary?
Oh, sorry.
No.
Florida State is definitely going to blow it. Florida State's going to blow it. That's what Florida State is. They're going to blow it. They're going to lose to somebody bad, real bad. Yeah, but not as one thing losing to this thing. That is happening.
I can tell you what.
I will come up with a team.
They're going to lose their first game of the season against LSU in Orlando. I can tell you that much.
No. Hey.
That might be their only
talk
big win of the season.
Jaden Daniels is going to be a Heisman candidate for LSU this year. The quarterback position.
He's trying to make sure he's trying to build up some confidence. Hey,
but Florida State's going to win the ACC, though. They're going to lose to LSU, but they're going to win the ACC.
We'll keep this going.
Okay.
We'll keep this going here. So, some quick grades for some of the teams. And if you want to start with your team, that's fine, because I'm sure everyone has some thoughts about their team. Word on the street is that the Philadelphia Eagles are looking at Kirby Smart as the next head coach. I don't know. I'm just looking at, you know, what's going to happen with that.
What?
Apparently, they just keep drafting Georgia players.
Yeah.
And they're looking at Kirby Smart. You know, I'm totally joking. Let's talk about
that. Oh, that's what
we're going
to
do. You know you are.
Story.
Hey, that is the word, right?
They might as well.
Let's talk about that's a good squad to have. You know, everyone loved their draft, but you could talk about that, and you could talk about your team. So, you know, again, you probably have some thoughts on your team. I think as we were watching the draft, we were kind of – it was interesting because all the moves and, you know, Houston, you know, really came out, and we're like, oh, shit. You know, whenever they got C.J. Stroud, you know, there's some word, you know, are they getting Will Anderson? Come back in to get Will Anderson and then just – you know, you were like, well, they had a successful draft. I would say if you're the Texans, right? Now, again, but that's just, you know, everything's on paper. But we're going to go around the horn. What's your thoughts? You can talk about how your team did, what you thought. Were there any surprises? There were surprises, but, you know, we'll talk about that. But I'll talk with you, Rob, and we'll keep it going from there.
All right. You know, this is kind of hard to figure out where to start on this one, but I will start with the 2 teams who I gave the highest grade to in the draft, and if I can just get to my notes here. So I gave a lot of A's, but I only gave 2 teams an A+. and they're both from Pennsylvania. I hear the Pittsburgh Steelers in A plus, and I hear the Philadelphia Eagles in A plus. Those are the two teams I thought had the best draft when you look at from a value standpoint. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers here, I thought every single pick they got tremendous value. They traded up one spot ahead of the Jets to get Broderick Jones. All indications were that Jets were going to take Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia. Steelers moved up one spot and was able to get him. They got Jordan Porter Jr. in the second round, which, you know, myself and almost every other draft expert had him on in the first round. So I thought he got tremendous value there. The guy's going to have an immediate impact. Keanu Benton, defensive tackle from Wisconsin, and even getting Darnell Washington late in the third round, tight end from Georgia. You know, I think he has a chance to even be a better pro than he was in college. And then to get Nick Herbig, edge rusher from Wisconsin at 132. Even Spencer Anderson in the seventh round. So I give them an A+. And then, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, you know, what else can we say about what they did in the draft? I still think Jalen Carter is the best talent in this draft, and they got him at number 9. Nolan Smith, to get him at 30. Tyler Steen, they got him in the third round, and most of my mocks had him going in the second. I think he can have an immediate impact on their offensive line. He played guard and tackle at Alabama. Sidney Brown, get him in the third round. I think a guy's going to compete for secondary. Keely Ringo in the fourth round. They take a flyer on the quarterback, Taylor McKee from Stanford. He's got a strong arm. And then they get Morrow with Gilmore in the seventh round. This is a three-technique defensive tackle that could have gone, you know, most mocks going as high as the third round. So they're the two teams who I they're the only two teams that I gave an A+ in this draft. When you look at the NFC South, Falcons did a very solid job. I gave them an A- in the draft, as much as I hate to say it. You know, you draft Bijan Robinson, now you pair him with Kyle Pitts and Drake London. I mean, they got a tremendous talent base. And if Desmond Ridder comes around as a quarterback, then they could be a scary team offense. Definitely hate to say that, but just try to be objective here as much as possible. Matthew Bergeron in the second round, solid value. Dick Harrison in the third, solid value. Their fourth and seventh round pick is where I think they maybe gotten steals. Clark Phillips the third from Utah is a guy I thought had some mocks going as high as the first or second. And even DeMarco Hillams, safety from Alabama, too, to get him in the seventh round. So really the only guy I thought they reached on was Jovan Gwynn, and they drafted him in the seventh round. I had him as an undrafted guy, so not a huge reach there. You know, and so I gave them an A-. When you look at the Carolina Panthers, even though they got Bryce Young, I gave their whole draft a C+. I thought they reached on a lot of positions. I thought they reached on Jonathan Mingo in the second round. I thought they reached on D.J. Johnson in the third round. I had him as a late-round draft pick. Chandler Zavala and Jamie Robinson were solid picks late. But really, those two mid-round, those two second- and third-round picks, I thought they reached tremendously on Mingo and D.J. Johnson. So I gave them a C+ in their spot. Tampa Bay Bucks, I gave them a B-. Kalijah Kansi, no problems there. Cody Mock in the second round, offensive lineman. I think he could be a steal. That was a good pick. Yaya Diaba, edge rusher from Louisville in the third round, solid. But then their mid to late round picks is when I thought they started to reach. Sebastian Dennis, I had him as a undrafted free agent. I had Payne Durham down as an undrafted free agent. I had Josh Hayes and Jose Ramirez. So I had four of their draft picks I actually had as undrafted free agents and not getting drafted. So I gave them a B-. Like what they did in the first three rounds. Getting Trey Palmer late was not bad, but I thought most of their mid-round picks were reaches. Gave them a B-. My Saints gave us a B+. Obviously, like the first-round pick, I actually had Brian Brzee. And matter of fact, in my very last mock, I had him going to the Saints. And several other mocks had him going to the Saints. And as well as our second-round pick, Isaiah Foskey, I had him in quite a few of our mocks going to the Saints right there, number 40 as well. Kendre Miller, great pickup at the running back position. Nick Saldivari, offensive guard from Old Dominion, solid value there. Jake Hayner, the quarterback from Fresno State, a good value. Really the only guy I thought the Saints reached on was Jordan Howden, six-round draft pick, safety from Minnesota. I had him as an undrafted free agent. Saints took him in the sixth round, and that's why I gave us a B-plus there for that reach. A.T. Perry could be a steal in the sixth round, so solid pick there, but gave the Saints a B-plus because of the reach on Jordan Howden. And I'll stop there and let you guys fill in on some other teams.
JQ, you want me to go?
Yep, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go over the first of all, the guys from our teams that I'm looking forward to seeing how they do and where they can win in the draft. You know, Rob mentioned his team, the Saints, and their first two picks, that Brazee out of Clemson and that Foskey out of Notre Dame, looking forward to seeing those guys, you know, on that Saints defense. I think those were great additions. The one guy, but there's two guys on the Falcons that, you know, I really wanted Bijan Robinson to somehow drop, but I knew he was just too good, and I think he's going to be a fantastic back for the Falcons. And I want to see how that cornerback Phillips plays out of Utah, Phillips the third out of Utah. I think that was a good pick in the fourth round. As far as the Bengals, hey, the Bengals got, you know, JQ's got his, you know, his favorite team. The second round, they got Turner out of Michigan. Then they got Robinson, the punter out of Michigan. So they got two players from his favorite team.
You just
got to
rub that one in.
So congratulations to you. Any comments? No. Okay. My team, you know, I knew that Mozzie Smith had the Cowboys had him in camp, and Quinn was really high on him. And we were 19th in the league against the run. And we played the 49ers and been eliminated two times in a row. I'm glad they got a potential run stopper. So I'm really looking forward to that. The other guy on the Cowboys that intrigued me is the running back Vaughn out of Kansas State, I think he is. His father's a scout for the Cowboys, been a scout for the Cowboys for, you know, 10, 12 years. So those are the players that I'm interested in seeing. As far as the NFC East goes and grades, I wanted to give the Philadelphia Eagles A+, but because I hate them so much, I just gave them an A. I gave Dallas a B+ because I think they filled a lot of what they needed with this draft. I gave the Giants a B+, and I gave Washington a C.
That's good, dear. Good stuff.
Yeah, and I'll touch on the Bengals draft. I actually gave the Bengals an A-, and I know JQ would be happy with some of their picks. And I know JQ curses me out when I put Michigan players in the mocks, but I wonder if he's coaching out the Bengals GM for drafting these couple of Michigan players like he curses me out when I put Michigan players in the mocks.
Oh, I did. I'm sitting here waiting on us to draft. That's what we do. I said, "Rep, come on, God, damn it!" So I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I was not happy.
Yeah, but when you look at the Bengals draft, when you look at the value, they got value just about every pick. The only one I kind of dinged them on was their last pick, G.J. Ivy from Miami. Adam is an undrafted guy, but everywhere else. They got the value. I mean, Miles Murphy in some mocks could have been a top 10 player. You get him late. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a solid player for them for years to come. DJ Turner, one of the fastest times in the combine. Going to, you know, really help that secondary. And, you know, at some point, you got to get your boy. I know he went to Ohio State, JQ. And you got to replace him with a Wolverine. But at some point, you got to get your boy off the field. Eli Apple. You got to get him off the field.
No, he had to go. I was going mad because it was from Michigan. I was like, really, man? I've been sitting here waiting, trying to run around and get on my phone, and that's what we do. We go to Michigan. Come on, man. But I get the overall sentiment. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. But Jordan Battle, I really like that pick in the third round.
Jordan Battle.
He's not the greatest athlete, but the guy was just a smart football player. He just seems to be in the right spot at the right time all the time. So, you know, he takes great angles, really smart guy. I think he's going to have an impact on that defense in short order, in very short time. And to get him in the third round, and really the only reason he went in the third round is because of some of his athleticism. But, I mean, Roman Harper was the same way for the Saints game from Alabama. You know, and he didn't have the great measurables, but he turned out to be a solid pro for like 10, 11 years. And that's who Jordan Battle kind of reminds me of. So I look for him to have an impact on that team. And then Charlie Jones, Chase Brown, DeAndre Kidd, Brad Robbins, all very solid picks. You know, sometimes you wonder about drafting a punter, but, you know, Robbins, you know, where you picked him was tremendous value. Who I had as a top punter in the draft too, so I mean I gave the Bengals an A minus.
Well, as much as they're going to be punting this year, it's nice to have a good punter like that.
I agree with that. I'm surprised that nobody has said Seattle. I mean I know I'm biased, but getting a Jigba, and it sucks for us for fantasy, but it's like, man, why do you feel like you need to get Sharpening to go with Kenneth Walker, and you got also Metcalf and Lockett, and you put a Jigba in there. Like, they said, listen, Geno, bro, you don't have a whole lot of reason to complain at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've given you another running back weapon.
Tools around the backfield.
Yeah. And you put a Jigba as the third wide receiver with Lockett and Metcalf? Woo-hoo-hoo.
That's nasty
for Seattle. I'm with you, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. As much as I hated it, I was sitting there like, when I told you in the text, I said, man, listen, if I could bet on Joey Porter Jr. going to Pittsburgh tomorrow, I would put $100 on it because that's happening. And they just continue to fill out that roster. Concerns me with they going to Baltimore. If OBJ has anything left, if you put him with OBJ and Mark Andrews over the middle, and you get JK back to being healthy, and I'm now a happy Lamar Jackson. Baltimore is still a problem. Cleveland, it's hard for me to hate on Cleveland because they got two-fifths of the Ohio State offensive line in that draft, so I didn't want to be so mad at it because I was happy for those guys. But I feel like Cleveland had the fourth-best draft in the AFC North. But, you know, not to go over everything you guys just did, I was just surprised that Seattle didn't make it. Because to me, I was looking like, wow, in terms of having to compete, with the 49ers, and if the Rams ever make it back, but mostly the 49ers, those offensive weapons, if Geno can build on the year that he had this past year, and you're giving him two more weapons, it's a good draft for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks draft too. I gave them a B-plus, though. Obviously I do a grading based on value, but, yeah, to get Devon Witherspoon and Jackson Smith and Jigba, I mean, those would be two impact players right away. And Zach Charbonnet, to me, was very close to Jahmyr Gibbs when it comes to a grade for second-best running back in the draft. And to pair him with Kenneth Walker, that gives them a dangerous offense if Geno Smith can continue to play like the way he did last year. The only reason I did not give him an A, there was a few mid-round picks that I didn't like. You know, the Mississippi State defensive tackle, Cameron Young, in the fourth round. I thought he was an undrafted guy, and I thought the safety from New Mexico, Jared Reed, was also an undrafted guy. So I kind of dinged him and brought him down to a B-plus, but there's no doubt about it. And Derek Hall, maybe a slight reach in the top of the second round. He was probably a late second round, third round guy, but there's no question about it. They got two impact players, probably three with Zach Charbonnet. I like Anthony Bradford, offensive guard from LSU. In the fourth round, not just because he went to LSU, but I think he'll be someone that will compete, even give them some depth on the offensive line, which they just did. But overall, I gave them a B plus. Yeah, and the Ravens, I gave.
What did you give the Cowboys?
I gave the Cowboys, let me scroll down to my notes here. I gave them a B. And loved the Mazi Smith pick. You know, tremendous athlete. Maybe underachieved a little bit when it comes to production, but you can't question his size and his athleticism. 6'5", big dude. He's got all the measurables you want. And with the right coaching, he can really be a star. But I thought they reached big time for Luke Schoonmaker in the second round, a tight end from Michigan. I mean, I thought he was more of a fifth-round prospect. Tremendous blocker. He didn't really possess the receiving acumen, and that's probably where I deem the Cowboys the most for taking him in the second round. The Demarion Overshawn linebacker pick from Texas, really like that pick. The Fihoku, the edge rusher from San Jose State, I really like that pick. Richard,
that's one
from South Carolina.
I was going to ask you about.
Yep. Deuce Vaughn, getting him late. I really like him. You know, could be a Darren Sproles type player. But the ones that I thought were reaches were Shoemaker, Eric Scott, the cornerback from Southern Mississippi, I thought was an undrafted guy, and so was Jalen Brooks from South Carolina. I thought were undrafted guys. And Shoemaker, you know, definitely was a guy that was going to get drafted, but I just thought he was somewhere around a fifth-round prospect. So I gave them a B.
You know, last one I liked the Giants draft. Deontay Banks actually played as well as anybody has played against Marvin Harrison Jr. when Ohio State played Maryland. And he's had some really good film as well. And I like Jalen Hyatt in Tennessee, and I like Edgar from Oklahoma. I was looking at that like, again, you put some cornerbacks out there having to deal with those Eagles in that division and then giving him another couple weapons at running back and at wide receivers because you don't know how long you're going to keep Saquon. You know, is he going to hold out because of the – you know, franchise tag, and you need another wide receiver. If Sterling Shepard's your best wide receiver, you got to do something else. And Jalen Hyatt really just balled out until Hooker got hurt. So I like the Giants draft a lot, too.
Yeah, I gave the Giants a B as well, just like the Cowboys. I really like the Giants' first four picks. Deontay Banks, John Michael Schmitz, center from Minnesota, Jalen Hyatt, and Eric Gray. They're two mid-round picks. Trey Hawkins, the third, and Jordan Riley, I thought, were tremendous reaches. But getting Quavarius Owens, a safety from Houston, the seventh round, I thought was a steal. So overall, I gave them a B, just kind of dinged them a little bit on the Hawkins and Riley pick.
I was going to say, we're all kind of throwing flowers to a lot of teams, and a team that, you know, was sneaky good, which is, I know this is going to shock everyone, but I like what the surprising what the Lions did too, man. They get Gibbs. They turn around and get Jack Campbell, the linebacker from Iowa. Turn around and get, you know, Hendon Hooker too, you know, which is interesting to kind of let him kind of heal up and stuff like that. I thought it was really good. They also get Brian Branch, the safety from Alabama. So you're like, hi.
Okay.
Yeah, and they got the Porter. Yeah, the tight end. And then they mess around and come around back in. And I want to say I got to look at the last pick, but I was like, oh my God, Lions, okay, we're kind of
Antoine Green from North Carolina.
That's the wide receiver, yeah.
I really like that pick. So I like Antoine Green from North Carolina.
So you're getting the kind of DNA of Dan Campbell, and you know we always like to shit on the Lions, but you're like, okay, Lions, we kind of see what you're doing here. So you know, eventually, you know, they're gonna eventually get out of that division some way, but you know, it's tough right now, but it's now the time, but. You like the talent that they actually added to that team. So it's interesting. Well, I'm not saying it's going to be this year, but you kind of like the future as far as it's happening too. You know, so sneaky good for the Lions, for sure. I was like, whoa, okay, all right, Lions. Like Cleveland, eventually you got to keep crapping on them. They're going to start getting talent at some point. They're going to get it right eventually.
You know, this may sound weird for me with the Detroit Lions. I may be talking out of two sides of my mouth here. I think they got some good players that are going to help the team, but I actually gave them a C in the draft. And only, you know, just from a value standpoint, Jahmyr Gibbs, I had him going late first round, the highest. Most mocks going in the second. Jack Campbell, the same. You know, both of these guys are going to help them. I think they're going to be good players on their team. But I didn't think either one of them were a first round pick. I mean, Detroit did trade back. At least you didn't take Jahmyr Gibbs at number 6. They did trade back to number 12. But, you know, I just thought both of those guys were reaches where they were picked at number 12 and 18 overall. Like the LaPorta pick where they got him. Like the Brian Branch pick was tremendous value. Getting him at 45. Getting him to Hooker in the third round I thought was another great pick. But the Colby Scoresdale pitch at 152, offensive guard from William & Mary, I thought was a reach. It was a guy I thought was undrafted. So I gave the Lions a C.
That's fair. Yeah. And then lastly, I know.
What'd you give the 49ers? The Falcons.
Good call.
Let's see. The 49ers, I gave them a C+.
Yeah,
that's about what I was seeing online. They didn't.
A lot of these, take a kicker in the third round.
Yeah. But Jake Moody, the kicker from Michigan, I thought was the best kicker in the draft, but I thought he was a sixth-round value, not a third-round value. So I kind of dinged him on that. The Jair Brown pick from Penn State, like him in the third round. Cameron Latu, tight end from Alabama, no problem there. The Georgia edge rusher, even though he went to Georgia, Robert Beale Jr., I thought he was an undrafted guy. And then, of course, Ronnie Bell from New Edition, wide receiver from Michigan.
Ronnie Bell, imperative. Bell bow.
I thought
here.
He was.
That's what he said.
I thought he was an undrafted guy, and a linebacker from Purdue, Jalen Graham. I thought was an undrafted guy. So I gave the Bengals a C+. I mean, not the Bengals, the 49ers.
So hey.
He's like, hey,
what you like? So I like the Bengals. I will give them A-.
That Rob being objective. The only thing I was going to say is it's watching the draft and even though, like you said, Gary, appreciate you with the Bijan Robinson pick, because again, I think we were kind of concerned about the value of the running back position. So I think overall, Falcons satisfied, even though, you're still going to hear a little shade about Jalen Carter being there and kind of the woulda, coulda, shoulda, that's still kind of, the word of the street here. But as far as just getting an outstanding character, and everything, that's why we're happy with the pick. But you're like, man, it was this generational talent, that's the thing. It's good that he is not in the state of Georgia, to kind of deal with everything that happened. So, plus he didn't do well in the workout. So you're trying to, battle against that, Falcons don't draft Georgia players. And then you look at the freaking Eagles, every single player, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, the Kobe, it's like the whole roster, traded for DeAndre Swift, got Keelan Ringer. Like, what the hell? And then everyone's like, if you like the Georgia players that much, why don't you become a fan of the Eagles? Because eventually that's kind of what it seems like. But I was pretty much pleased with the draft. I didn't know a lot about Bergeron, actually. That was interesting because I wanted a guard / tackle. I was looking at, obviously John Michael Smith. I was looking at, Cody Mock and Steve Avila. Those are guys I was kind of looking. I didn't like that we traded up our fourth round pick second round pick to get him. But I see what it kind of, you looked like he was being targeted. So, you got your run blocking guard, man. Hey, put him in at left tackle. He's your starter. Like you talked about Clark Phillips a second. I love that. That's that guy right there is just a ball hawk.
He's an idiot.
I'm excited to get him.
He's an idiot. He committed to Ohio State, and he committed so he could go play with his brother in Utah. I said, that boy there is dumb. I love you, little bro. But I'm not going to go play in Utah with you. I want to play for the Titans, or at least have be in a conversation. I'm not going to Utah. So, to me, I feel like he's...
Come on, Clark Phillips.
He's got all the ability. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But what about...
I got to leave Ohio State to go play in Utah.
You talk about Matthew Bergeron. I think I've had him in going to all four of our teams at some point in my draft. mostly in the second round. So, solid pick. Bijan, I had him going anywhere from number 6 to 28.
Okay.
Yeah, I was hoping it was the low end of that, but
hey,
what Nas said. Is you get a running back like your first round selection, and you run their that rookie contract out, and then you franchise tag him a couple of years. You get a good portion of that career out of him, and then it's a dog eat dog world. But instead of giving them that big contract, you let them go and move on to another guy.
Speak of what happened, and he shall appear. Naj has literally joined the call. I'm sure Naj is going to talk some junk about Anthony Richardson. No, I'm joking, Naj. Man, welcome. We're doing our recaps, and Naj, you kind of – I apologize. I just saw you pop in, man, so hope you weren't waiting too long. But welcome, my guy.
No, I'm good, man. What's up, y'all? It was good listening to y'all.
What's up, man?
That was dope. Like, hearing the draft.
Everything else. You got to rock with that because I'm not a big, prospect guy. I just give, football beans. But
if I got to add something to y'all, I'm going to give y'all this. Y'all can take this sports radio, do whatever y'all want to do. You know what I'm saying? But to see the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans put on their big boy shoes and not go for the banana in the tailpipe. Dude, they tried to mirror smoke and lie their way to get them people to draft Will Levis, and they didn't fall for it, man. Organizationally, they stuck to their boards. They didn't allow them people to push Levis up the boards out of nowhere for no reason. And, they did what they were supposed to do. So that's the one thing. And then the second thing is Gary was just saying, yeah, man, that running back 7 years and throw him away, like, dog, that's the new move if we're talking about premier running back. So I think everything worked out. But, Dre, I'm a little nervous, though. That seemed a little high for the team that we got. But at least we got a guy we know who's going to give him the ball. That man might get 30 carries and 10 targets a game. Like, this is what? They're going to work the hell out of
New Christian McCaffrey?
They may battle.
Well, we know what the game plan is going to be. They're going to try to run the football a lot. That's for sure. But BJ,
I'll wake up in the morning running the football.
But you know what's interesting?
Good, Rob.
A lot of Falcon fans are going to be upset that, I've already heard it, being here in Atlanta, why we didn't take Jalen Carter, why we didn't take Nolan Smith, from Falcons fans. But I can tell you, Ryan Nielsen, defensive coordinator, he came from the Saints. Of course, the GM, Fontenot, came from the Saints. And one thing the Saints like, they like those defensive ends with 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", long arms. And Nolan Smith didn't fit those measurables. He's only about 6'2". He's fast off the edge. And the Eagles have had some success with those kind of edge rushers. But Ryan Nielsen and Dennis Allen and Terry Fontenot, their school of thought is they like their defensive ends long. They like them 6'4 and up. And, that 260, 270 range. And so I can tell you that's why the Falcons passed on Nolan Smith. Now, I can't answer why they passed on Jalen Carter. I don't know the answer to that. But I know how Nielsen
character.
Yes, you do.
Things when it comes to defense.
I was gonna say, you know exactly where they passed on him. He can't be here and get all that stuff to happen to him, and then go to the Falcons. That dude would not be right. He went to where he probably needed to go with a Fletcher Cox and a veteran defensive line and a veteran defensive group that would rein him in and say, "Hey, young fella, we see where you was headed. Let us help you out." If he goes to Atlanta with no Grady Jarrett, maybe. Takes him under his wing, maybe. And Grady Jarrett might be on his way out, and you let him be the face of it.
A lot of times it's better for these guys. I always wonder why the Saints don't draft many LSU players, but sometimes you got to wonder. Some of these players are better off leaving town. And, get away from their surroundings, get away from distractions and things of that nature. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think they said it was like that. He has the talent, but being in Atlanta as a Bulldog, as a two-time champion, that might not have worked out great. I can't be mad at that. I mean, I get it talent-wise, but you might not have realized that talent if he had to stay close to home. So,
yeah. Big facts. That's fair.
Hey, and I know this is going to sound bad, but like every other toxic relationship, they tend to try to take you away from your family. But, get some distance between you and your family and friends. Yeah.
What you doing, Gary? What you doing, Gary?
Kind of NFL thing, sir.
Naj is on fire. It is interesting, Rob, that you said about the actual size of the defensive ends because, for some reason, and this is not a shout to Dan Quinn, but he used to love, we're going to get fast and physical. So you get, like, these smaller, undersized, like, defensive ends. We're like, come on, man. We get, like, run over on our defense, and we're like, come on, man. What's going on over here? So it is a welcome change to actually see some guys with some length, some guys that are at least 6'5", at least 270, kind of in that range too, because it's like, all right, we're not going to get, run over, blown off the ball too much, So we kind of like the way the build is going right now too, and having the run game is going to be fantastic too. So we're excited about that too. man, we spent a lot of time talking draft, like we didn't get a chance to talk about the topics, but I do want to touch base on Jordan Love, how he gets that, you know, unique one-year extension here, and everyone can talk about that as far as if that's kind of like, you know, it's interesting because, you know, he's finally under the out of the shadow of Aaron Rodgers, and you know, he's finally, you know, this is hey, you know, we kind of like you, we don't, you know, but we don't really know you yet, you know, but at least you put some money in your pocket. And you do wonder what's going to happen too, you know, does he have enough weapons? And we're going to always talk about that, you know. But does he have a different swagger now that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is gone? And this is kind of what this contract reflects too. So we'll go around the horn and talk about that. And if you have any other topics you want to discuss, now is the time to throw that out there because we did spend a lot of time recapping the draft and whatnot too. So what's your thoughts about that, Rob?
Hey, I think it was a smart move for the Packers, and it's a unique deal, a very unique deal, but I think from a Packers perspective, it did protect them a little bit because picking up the fifth-year option would have been a lot more money, and I guess Jordan Love realized that, and, hey, this is probably a fair deal for both teams. Hey, let's see what you do this year, and then you got another year to kind of come back and, you know, to grow and continue to get better, and then we'll evaluate you at that point to see – you know, where we are as far as a long-term extension here. So I think overall, I understand it. The fifth-year option, I think, could have been somewhere around $20 million for Jordan Love. And without seeing him start, you know, more than two or three games, I think in the games that he started, he's thrown three touchdowns and three INTs. You got to see a body of work before you commit this guy for $20 million for one season. So I think it was definitely a fair deal for both sides from the Packers standpoint. You know, I kind of thought the Packers would pick up the 50 option, but I think this was even a smarter move for the Packers. And thankfully for them that Jordan Love, you know, agreed to that. So definitely a very unique deal. You don't usually see this with a guy in a rookie deal, but very unique strategy by the executives of the Green Bay Packers.
I think they had to, right? Like, for everything you just said. And I think he had to because if you go out there and you get mad, now you're out there with 1 year of body of working now, you want somebody to take the sweep of faith on you, or you going to get anywhere close to that. So, to me, it makes sense from both sides of them to say, hey, let's try to grow together. We understand what the circumstances were. You're coming off of, oh, my God, 30, 35 years of continuous excellence at the quarterback position from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And now we're in the unknown with you, and now you got to follow that up, too. So, yeah, to me it makes sense. He's going to get a little bit of the money still. But, you know, we're committed to you. We just showed you we're committed to you by trading Aaron and getting out of this foolishness and moving on with you. You know, we're trying to build around you and get you some weapons and keep the defense intact. So, to me, it makes sense if you're Green Bay. You say, like you said, hey, I don't know you quite yet. Let's get to know each other and see how this works out. But I might not like you. You might not like me. And so – we don't end up being together, and we can move on. So, to me, it makes sense from the Green Bay standpoint. I don't think they really had a choice. I don't think either one of them really had a choice. It was just one of those things where this deal makes too much sense for us not to do together.
Yeah, well, it was a great Green Bay passer deal. They went from a guy that they had all the talent in the world, but they didn't like him. They hated him. They hated all the bullshit that Aaron Rodgers put him through. From the time he was on the bench behind Favre until his end, there was always something. Now they got a guy, and they go, well, you know what? We hated this guy, but you know what? We kind of like you, so here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. So any swagger he might have had, that's over. He's got no swagger.
They drafted some potential weapons for him. Two tight ends, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, wide receiver from Michigan State. And they went out there and tried to get him some help.
That shows how much they didn't like Aaron Rodgers. They didn't give Aaron Rodgers no help. They're like, F you, Aaron Rodgers. You figure that shot by yourself.
That's not true. They didn't give Aaron Rodgers no first round help. They gave him some help. They just
I'm
never
joking.
Gave him no first round help because
come
that's,
on, JQ.
Yeah.
That's not my joke.
I'm sorry.
Now, they still didn't draft a wide receiver or tight end in the first round. They drafted Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher from Iowa in the first round. But that would have been something if they would have took a wide receiver or tight end in the first round because
they
never
should
did.
Have done that.
Yeah,
that
would
have Lucas.
That would have been, yeah,
they should have taken.
That's what I was hoping for.
That dude, with A-Rod's cap number, it was hard to do, though. But ultimately,
He got something more valuable than money, and that would be power and buy-in. Power, because Gunquist and the coach need him to succeed. They not only need him to succeed to justify the pick, but also to justify their place within the NFL. They don't want it to be this thing where they fall in their face and it looks like Aaron carried them for those years and they're not the guys who their reputation and their record says it is.
Right.
So Jordan Love just fell into the perfect position. Like, they're going to get them all the weapons, they're going to have the system in place, and they're going to do everything they can to carry that dude over the line to be considered a franchise guy. And as long as he proves that, then the money will be there. But that buy-in, dude, that is, man, that is hugely important. Because think about it. As a GM, you drafted this kid with Aaron on the roster, which caused a lot of the friction. So when this comes back around the other way, the kid got to ball out. So they're going to do everything in their power to get that guy where he needs to be. So, yeah, Jordan Love, like, dude, there should never be a complaint anything from Jordan Love.
Nah, I said this on the show. I think he's sneakily, I shouldn't say sneaking, but I think he's quietly excited about this opportunity to have his quarterback through camp, all the mini camps, all through spring practices and things of that nature. I think he's quietly excited about this opportunity and don't have to deal with the drama with Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily count them out.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, Christian Watson is a phenom. If he's healthy and what we think he is from what we saw on tape last year, like, that's a serious separator. And you add to that back
Romeo,
which is going to be a big part of this game, Aaron Jones and you know, Quad Father, like, bro, that's
Quad Father.
That's such bad pieces to start with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs came on down in the last year. So you put them together.
Yeah. Watson and Dobbs, they both came on at the end of the season, and he got him some more help too. So we'll see. I'm not predicting him to win a division, but you know, I still wouldn't count him out though. If I had to make an early prediction, I think it's going to be the Detroit Lions in that NFC Central.
I can't believe we just said that, and I agree with you.
I do too. Wow,
that's nuts. That's how far they've come. Naj, you're not going to say anything about Anthony Richardson, how right you were as far as him making that drastic uptick, man, because, you know, not that we were shitting on you, but it was interesting how you were kind of in the camp, right? Nothing to say on that front or what?
No, I'll just say this. We just know him from Saturdays, and the reason I got on him, you know, what's that guy, Matt Waddle, I think it is. He's one of the, you know, Twitter tape guys. He's a scout. He's been doing this for a long time. So early on in the process, he liked him, and he never likes anybody. So when he liked him, I was like, whoa, wait a minute, let me look a little more deeply into this. So that's when I started looking into it. And then when I seen the metrics, it was like, look, if you can't fix that, then what can be fixed? So it's the Josh Allen thing all over again, man. All the raw materials are there. They just got to try to fix them, and that's worth taking, you know, I wouldn't have said four, but, you know, it is what it is. That's worth taking early.
I like the coach's draft. Crazy, man. I gave them an A in their draft. And I didn't give them a, like I said, there's only two teams I gave an A+, and that was the Eagles and the Steelers. But I had the coach as one of those teams right underneath with an A. Anthony Richardson, you know, the more you watch his game tape, you know, you know, there's some questions about his accuracy and completion percentage. But, man, he threw a lot of dimes where he had a lot of drops last year, too, the more you watch his tape. I mean, out of all these quarterbacks in the draft, he probably had the most drops from his receivers, too. So I think we're looking at a pretty good prospect here. And then for them to get Julius Brents in the second round, Josh Downs third round, Blake Freeland in the fourth round, Avadori in the fourth round, Darius Rush in the fifth round. I mean, they had a tremendous draft. Daniel Scott, Tate Cattell, Evan Hall, running back Northwestern, Jalen Jones. Yeah, they did a tremendous job. But ladies and gentlemen, recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in. I know a lot of draft coverage here. We're going to have a brief OT portion. Stay tuned. You listen. click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Next week, we're going to be back at you on Tuesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, Philadelphia and Boston. We want to hear from y'all. New York, we want to hear from y'all, too. NBA playoffs, Central Time Zone. I don't think y'all have nobody in the playoffs. We'll move on to the mountain with Denver and Phoenix. So it's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time Zone. And then Oakland, San Francisco, L.A. I want to hear from y'all 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Good night, people.
Yeah, man. This is going to be – the NBA can't have asked for anything better. You get L.A. and Golden State. You get Boston and Philadelphia. You get Miami and New York. The only one that people don't really care about is Denver and Phoenix. And the way that's going, it might be over real quick if Phoenix don't get it together. So the NBA is like this. Hercules.
Chris Paul looking like he's out in game 3 and 4 from Phoenix, too. Yeah, this might be over really fast. And their chemistry has just not been the same when they traded for Kevin Durant. And they lost a lot of depth, too. And Denver is a good team, and it's showing.
Yeah, they just don't have no bench. No bench.
That's what happens when you trade for a superstar. You got to trade 3-4 guys. And it really just hurt the depth of that team.
Yep.
I'll let you guys have one topic and wrap up the show because I know it's been one of those things. What, you about to say something, Nosh?
Yeah, I was just about to agree with them as far as the depth. And it makes you wonder, like, okay, why weren't they more active in the buyout market? And then the other part is, if you're Monty Williams, I know you got bad, like, G League-level players on that bench. But you got to figure out a way to steal minutes because you can't play these older guys who play so many minutes and been in so many battles. You can't play these guys that kind of workload and expect them to produce like they normally would. If Chris Paul does two hezzies and a cross in one possession, man, that groin is going to tear. Like, bro, this you can't do that, brother. So, yeah, Monty's got to figure out a way to steal minutes with that bad bench, man. Like,
no, it ain't. That, you know what? That's a piece of it. The other piece of it is they got to go to DeAndre Ayton's house and get in a circle and say, hey, man, hey, are you grown? Are you a for real dude in this league? What do you want to be? His 7-foot ass is out there getting 7 rebounds a game and barely getting 12 points. And we just gave you all this goddamn money. If you don't take your ass out there and play Jokic harder than that and give me 20 and 13 every game, man, you'll be fighting. Every time we get back in the locker room, at halftime, after the game, and practice the next day, and film study, dudes, you got to man up. I don't know what to tell you as a grown man, as a 7-footer down there, but if you don't get your shit together, it's going to be a problem. It's DeAndre Ayton.
Yep.
Did you give him that money? You better stop coming and play ball, bro. It's DeAndre Ayton.
Wow. They need to pull out an old Sanford and Son episode when Fred Sanford asked Lamont, are you a man or are you a cream puff?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
That's right.
That's what they need to pull out for DeAndre Ayton. I totally agree with you, man. They need to pull out the old 1970 episode with Seth and the Son. Are you a man or are you a creep with DeMonte? Give me one more shot and I'll tell you, Fred.
Fred Fox, one of the greatest. Rousing way
for
that.
They just want
JQ, what's your pick?
Joker.
What's your pick on this series? The LA.
Is that a real question?
Yeah, it is. Tell me about it.
Lakers in 6.
Lakers in 6.
Because they're not going to win in Golden State in 7. They got to win in 6. If it goes to a game 7, Golden State wins game 7 at home. I'm just going to be an objective fan. So for the Lakers, I feel like the Lakers can win this series. To me, the Golden State was the best matchup they could get. Sacramento would have ran their old asses a ragged. Getting Golden State, the team they beat 3 times after the trade deadline. All 3 wins they beat Golden State were after the trade deadline when they got that new team. So it's not like they did all this stuff beforehand and they don't know what they need to do to match up. You know what I mean? Like, so I really think outside of trying to be objective, I feel like the Lakers could win this in 6, but if Golden State wins in 7, it wouldn't shock me because Steph showed you who he was. When people was picking Sacramento in that game 7 against Golden State, I said I would take all the bets. There is no chance that Golden State loses in the first round of Sacramento. I don't care if they play on the goddamn moon. They're going to beat them in Sacramento. Light the beam, light the torch, light the blood. Whatever you talk about lighting, they can really light it. And then Steph Curry went out there and dropped 50 on them. I was like, what are y'all doing? He's still Steph Curry. Like, you really thought they were going home as the defending champs in the first round? So you always have to give them their respect. But I honestly think the Lakers can win the championship. Six. If they don't win the six, they don't win the game seven in Golden State. I would be crazy shocked if they go seven and L.A. wins in Golden State.
In this series here, I think it's going to be a real war. And LeBron is just going to bring it. LeBron is going to be LeBron. Curry, Thompson, they're going to be, you know, can Draymond, you know, keep his composure and not cause him to lose a game, you know, at the end doing something stupid. If he doesn't do that, then it's going to be a good series. My question on the L.A.'s part of it is Anthony Davis. Is he, you know, he's so up and down. So
he's got to be the key.
If he is, he's got to be good for four games of that six or seven game series. If he's not,
no sleepy AD
Golden State's going to win.
Sleepy AD games.
That's my.
I agree. I agree. You say anything we talk about DeAndre Ayton, you can put both of those MFers in a room together and look at them and say, man, you two big bastards, if you don't go out there and play some basketball, I'm going to know something.
And another thing I think for the Lakers, the key to this, they got to keep Kevon Looney off the offensive glass. That dude's got 20 rebounds already, and this is at the end of the third quarter of this game tonight. 20 rebounds. AD's got 17.
Wait a minute. We also got to bring up Sabonis. Because that was one of the worst performances from an all-NBA guy that we've seen in a long time. Kevon Looney just beat him up, like just outright.
Elbowed him in the face.
Money. Like, come on, man. You going to let an unskilled, energy, high-hustle guy beat the hell out of you like that? Like, bruh, I lost so much respect for Sabonis during this series, and JQ got it right. Once it got to a game seven, it was a wrap. When the young guys sneak up on the old guys, you take care of your business in five or six. Once you start talking about a game seven against veteran championship, you know, medal type guys, like you're not going to win that game. You had to get that before then. But, dude, they were giving Sabonis free throw line jumpers all series.
And he wouldn't take it.
They were beating him up on the offensive. Like, dude.
He just started hesitating.
I know they wish they had Halliburton out there. Sabonis was terrible.
Bro. That's true.
I can't believe he was that terrible.
Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback on
he
that,
21 rebounds.
Nas, you can't box the dude out. But Nas, sometimes you got to have those injury guys are the guys that, you know, you don't like, you need like a guy like that. Just, I'm just going to get rebounds. Or, you know, that's your job. You know, I'm going to do with hell or high water. You want it more. And that's, you know, you got to have guys like that. It's kind of like, you know, just to kind of get to the next level. I mean, I know everyone was talking shit about Alex Caruso was still missing for you guys for Lakers for a minute, JQ, but you're able to fill, you know, these. But, you know, you have to have a guy, I'm just going to, this is my job, I don't need to be a superstar. You know, Mitchell Robinson the same way for the and Robert Williams same thing for the Celtics. Guys that, you know, my goal, I'm just going to rebound, be a hustle guy, and get it done, you know, so. Those guys are valuable.
But those guys, if they get 10 boards and 6 points, you're happy. If they get 20 boards, you're like, okay, what the hell is wrong with y'all? What you do? Like, is Kevin, is he tricking you?
What's wrong with this, like, all-NBA guy that gets 7 rebounds? He's at the free throw line, and you're looking at him. He's got opportunities, and then slow-ass center goes out there and just stands in front of him and he's afraid of him. That's what it appeared to be. I think the game seemed to be too big for Sabonis. I was disappointed in his play as well.
Yeah. It was too big for the entire Sacramento Kings team. If you look at that second half, that whole team just folded. I mean, they were making bad decisions, turning over the ball. You know, they just folded. And I think they just folded under pressure because really, even though they lost that game by 20 points, there was only two players that beat them. There was Steph Curry and Looney. Thompson couldn't throw it in the ocean. Draymond Green was his normal triple single self. And, you know, Wiggins couldn't throw it in the ocean either. And so, I mean, when you look at it, it was all Curry with his 3-pointers and 6 points and Looney with his 20-something rebounds that kept giving them second possessions. I'm having a hard time predicting this series, but I agree with JQ. I think the Lakers have a chance. if Klay Thompson and Wiggins and these guys are going to shoot the ball the way they're shooting it right now, Klay Thompson is 8 out of 22 so far tonight. He's got 5 3-pointers, though.
Yeah, that was all the first quarter. He gave him a high.
If they can somehow slow Curry down, and I know that's easier said than done. He's got 16 points tonight. He's got 4 threes. He's got 6 out of 15 from the field.
Bang, 5.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Why is Anthony Davis shooting threes? Why is he shooting threes?
God. No.
Because the same way that LeBron shoot three, they get tired and get lazy and don't want to go and bang, and they just shoot a jump shot.
Yeah. Well, LeBron, he's 38, and he can't blow by.
That's Elvin Gentry's fault. When Anthony Davis was in New Orleans trying to get him to shoot some threes, so he still think he's got Elvin Gentry. That's why Elvin Gentry's out of the league. Well, he's not out of league. He's not a head coach anymore.
Damn, Rob.
Yeah.
Gary's hit it on the head. If you get four focused AD games, you can win this thing. But if you get one or two of those sleepy AD games, yeah, man, you're going to get us away. Like, he needs that. Matter of fact, hell, this is the purpose
right
of coming to L.A. He chose AD as the young guy to ride with. And if AD ain't that guy, he just ain't that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dennis Schroeder has been a pleasant surprise for the Lakers, too. And, and Austin Reeves, of course, too. But as you all talked about, AD's got to be the key. He's got 28 and 18 right now so far in this game.
So, yeah, I got to do it all over again tomorrow with baseball and work and Thursday, so I got to get some rest.
All right, gentlemen. Be good. I'm just happy that we didn't lose Gary this time. I don't know why they cut her off last week. Anyway, appreciate you staying.
You're talking that being LA kid. Blog, because the lady is an LA fan.
Where you sign that, Gary? Where you sign that?
He got it right there.
Oh, okay. Here, let me.
That blog talk lady said, oh, yeah. Take that shit, Gary.
It's funny because every time Dickie walked away, he wasn't here, and Gary was like, and then, I didn't even show it.
That's just a rumor.
That was hilarious.
That's just a rumor.
Oh, no. I know you, Gary. I know that happened 100%.
And you can get some rest.
A lie, I don't care who tells it, Gary.
At all.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great week. Great weekend. See you same time next week for sure. Be good.
Yes, sir.
Good night.